be quite distracting, I'm sure, but we shall do the best we can. And I will bring to your attention next Sunday, which of course is Easter Sunday, and I certainly bring to your attention the schedule for next Sunday, that Mass will be in this chapel here at 9 o'clock, and that it will also be in Birmingham at 9 o'clock. And in Montgomery, it will be at 11:30 or possibly a little later, depending on how I can get there as quickly as I can after the Birmingham Mass. Now, please, everybody, though I don't see anybody here that normally comes to the 6 o'clock Mass on Sunday, but I will at least say it, and that is that there will be no 6 o'clock Mass here in this church next Sunday. We shall have all-night adoration of the Most Blessed Sacrament on Holy Thursday night, and this begins at 8 o'clock, and it lasts until 6 o'clock the next morning, which is, of course, Good Friday. The three hours agony of our Lord on Good Friday, and this begins, of course, at 12 o'clock and ends at 3. Good Friday is a day of solemn fast and abstinence. And no one, unless seriously excused, is bound to observe this fast on Good Friday, and also the abstinence. It is a serious obligation. And this morning, I wish to bring to your attention a blessing. And that is by the blessing and grace of Almighty God, last Wednesday, which was the 23rd day of March, our own Frater Michael and Frater Sebastian were ordained to minor orders. And this is for us, the first giant step that we've taken, the really giant step, because we are now facing the priesthood face to face. And hopefully within a year, or thereabouts, approximately a year, with the grace of God and all things being equal, we will have two young men ordained to the Holy Priesthood. And no one can doubt what kind of a step we've taken. And you must, everyone, pray for this. Pray that Almighty God will give us this blessing, and that nothing will go wrong, and that it will be done with all peace and quiet that such an occasion demands. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Amen. Tell the daughters of Zion, behold, thy king comes to thee, meek, and seated upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. At one time or another, the thought occurs to us that we need be humble. But do we really appreciate what humility really demands of us? Apparently not, because the feeling of humility comes and goes depending on the circumstances of the moment. And also, the spirit of humility seems to take a back seat if someone other than myself or ourselves would indicate or demonstrate that we are not humble. How do we take it when we are reminded that we are not humble? How do we take it when we are reminded that we do not really follow in the footsteps of our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whom we say that we love dearly, whom we say that we admire and imitate? If, when we are approached in any way that is contrary to our own preconceived notion of things, whatever they may be, and we at such a moment so much as feel a rush of blood to our faces, or heat coming into our faces, my beloved people, we need to go and study about humility just a little bit more. A humble man is confronted by almost anyone and accepts it in the way that our blessed Lord accepted when it was said to him, "His blood be upon us and upon our children." Our Lord said not a word. And when he was led away, he said not a word. We say we love God, and I'm sure we do. But how genuine and how real is the love that we have for Almighty God? He was divine. He was the second person of the Blessed Trinity, wasn't he? He was God, wasn't he? He was involved, being God, the three persons of the Blessed Trinity, one God. He was involved equally in the creation of all things. But all things got themselves in trouble. And he had to come and do something in order to remove the trouble in which all things found themselves in. And as a token of appreciation, all things spat in his face and dragged him up a mountain and nailed him to a piece of wood. That was the gratitude of all things. But he was God, and to all intents and purposes, and to all who might have viewed him, and if you yourselves had been, if we, I should say, not you, but we, if all of us had been present at that awful moment, might we not have been involved in thinking him to be a complete failure and a fraud? On today, we would have been there, no doubt, tearing limbs off of trees and ripping the cloaks off of our backs and placing them on the ground for him to ride over. And here he comes, Almighty God, he was, or is, I should say, Almighty God himself, coming in on the lowly, riding on the back of a lowly beast. Chariots of gold would have been too inferior for him to be seated upon. And yet he comes in riding on a beast of burden. And to all intents and purposes, what a failure. We would have gone just a few days later. Today we would be singing Hosanna. And on just a matter of about 4 days, we would be saying, "Crucify him. He is nothing. He's a fraud. His blood is upon us and upon our children. My beloved people, we have so much to understand about this. So much to do in reforming our own lives. How serious are we in reforming and reconstructing, in redoing our own lives? How serious are we in turning away from our evil deeds and ways? This is not just pulpit talk. Of course, you hear this only at the pulpit. But how serious are we in trying to comprehend what this is all about? Remember the three questions that we have to answer to ourselves, lest perhaps we go crazy. And those who refuse to answer these questions, or who haven't got enough courage to answer these questions, how troubled we are. Where did we come from? And why are we here? And where are we going? And unless and until we come to a complete understanding of these three questions, and unless we come and until we come to grips with them, and unless and until we do something about these questions, don't let us speak in terms of comprehending what is going to take place in 4 to 5 days from now. It will only be just another drama which we are going to read about, and maybe a little tear will trickle down our cheeks, that it will be nothing more than that. There will be no understanding. You are at Calvary, and I am at Calvary, and you and I drove the nail in this individual's hands and feet. Why? Because every one of us is a sinner, and we have to come to grips with the fact that we are sinners. And because we are sinners, that we have to comprehend the thing that we must do something about it. And it is not a matter of choice. And it is not a matter of dialogue. And it is not a matter of study or debate. It is a matter that you and I drove the nail into God's hands. Do you understand this? You and I drove the nails into the hands of Almighty God. How dare we? And yet we do this day after day after day. And when we are reminded of this, are resentful, or we simply close our eyes and say, don't speak to me of this, I don't want to hear it. I'm doing the best I can. But beloved people, the best I can is not good enough. I'm trying is not good enough. It is a matter of what am I doing. You cannot have any huge gray area in the middle between good and evil. You either turn toward good and avoid evil, or you simply stay right where you are. There is no in between. Well, I'm trying to do the best I can. I'm avoiding this. I'm avoiding that. I'm doing the other thing. That's not good enough. He is not going to ask you, nor me, how hard did you try? how much did you try? He's simply going to ask, did you or didn't you? And that, my beloved people, is the end of the conversation. Do we understand that? What we are going to go through in the next few days, and I speak of that because it is happening, is the most serious event that took place in the annals of mankind from the beginning until now. All the wars, all the sickness, all the plagues, all the diseases, all of anything that is bad that you can speak of yet to come, put together, is nothing compared to the seriousness of what is about to take place. Do we understand that? Or do we insist upon looking upon all the wars and all the plagues and all the sicknesses that have been or are yet to come as being absolutely terrible? Well, they are, of course. And we leave it at that. The death of Jesus Christ makes all of these problems melt into insignificance. Can we understand that? No. So let us pray that during these next few days we will have enough courage to be able to go off to ourselves and to ask the question, what am I doing that is worthy of Jesus Christ? What softness can I give him when he is hanging on the cross? There is nothing romantic about hanging on the cross. Imagine the nails, imagine the pain, imagine the crowded thorns, imagine the thirst, imagine the body tremors that were going on. Imagine the heaving that was going on. And remember that he had been scourged and was full of wounds, bleeding, hurting wounds. And imagine the torture of the flies. That were eating him alive. My beloved people, we don't have any idea. Why? Because he wanted to save you and you and you and me and you. In order to pay the ransom that you and I, upon you and me, because you and I simply could not and did not have the strength sufficient to turn away from this, to do this. Isn't that something? God bless you. And I hope that you have a magnificent I wish to say this. I was going to say it another time. I do not know what the weather will allow me to do at the present moment. It doesn't look too promising. We went to a lot of work and a lot of trouble to prepare the church for you to go into if you wanted to go see it. You can. If you do, there's the front steps are half finished. They're safe. Just watch your step and you go in, you go up there. Once you get inside the church, you're all right. It's safe, but be careful. Watch your step going up. Watch your step coming down. If you don't go over there, that's perfectly all right. But if you're interested in, if the weather allows you, then go for it. And see what the church is like. We've got a lot of work to do yet, and a lot of things to be done. And I apologize for the condition of the ground. Of course, construction is construction. And pray for us. There are other things in the making. I will not tell you about them just yet until they become a little bit more certain. But there are other great things in the making that will make your hair stand on edge. So we need all the help we can get. Because in doing all of this, you can be sure that we find ugly footsteps all over the place every morning. That he downstairs and fires is not at all happy about what we're trying to do. So you pray that those ugly footsteps be washed away by the rain before we get up in the morning.